Praise you, Lord. Bob, leave that here for a second. I want to see something on there because it had the chorus to that song.
Oh, well, I have to get that song first.
Ah, you got to get that song first. Well, the reason why I want to come back to this, because here we are, you know, we're worshiping the Lord tonight, right? All right, here we are worshiping the Lord. But the chorus to that song we were just on is a way you can live every moment of every day of your life. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. All right. When you do this, and then it goes on from there, what was the next part? No, it's not even on his list. He can't help me there. But the thing is the next part of it then goes, you're altogether lovely, right? Altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to me. Now, the reason why that I wanted to focus on that for a moment, if you believe those words, if those are not just words that you come and sing in a service on a Wednesday or on a Sunday, then those words ought to give you the courage to address any situation you find yourself in always. Always. There is not a situation you will ever come into contact with that if you don't begin from that place that that chorus talks about, that you cannot handle in Christ Jesus. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care what it is. You can handle it because He can. He can. And see, when you live your life that way, where's the fear? Where's the worry? Where's the doubt? Where's the what do I do now? Where is all of that? It goes out because He is altogether all of these things to me, and He will give me that. He hasn't brought me to this situation or put me in this situation to fail in this situation. He's put me here, and there's a purpose in Christ Jesus that He has for me to partake of in ministering unto another that I can stand in. I can stand in that. I can do it. I don't have to draw back. I don't have to falter. I can stand in it. See, and that's the whole invitation of the Lord to us. He does that. This the day, you know, we sing that song, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Right? We sing that song. Just about everybody knows that song. All right? Well, do you live that song? Do you, when you greet the day, whatever that day has, sometimes you don't feel well. Sometimes you do feel well. Sometimes you're feeling like you can conquer, it doesn't matter what enemies in front of you, you can run them down. And some days you feel like a little squirt and you're going to get stomped on. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I want to underline that word, will, because will is an act on your part. It is your will to rejoice. You determine that you are going to rejoice in it no matter what. And if you don't think you can do that, it's amazing. I mean, I look at Stephen over there in the book of Acts, and, you know, he was being judged, condemned, and then stoned. Pretty horrifying day. You know, I don't wake up and go, well, Lord, today I think I want to be like Stephen in the Bible. You know, I want to be judged, condemned, and stoned. Anybody, like, when they wake up and they think of their ideal day, that's at the top of their list? And yet, did Stephen seem to be suffering that day? Did Stephen seem to be moved by those things? But you know what's amazing? What Stephen had is he had actually compassion towards those who were abusing him. He had compassion on them. Now, how can you or me have compassion on somebody who we don't like? Or we don't like what they're doing with us? Or we don't like what they're doing? Well, this is partly what I want to chat about here tonight. I want to chat about the concept of kindness. It's one of the attributes of love you will read about. It's one of the things that God, it says over in Luke, it talks about how he's kind unto even those who are contrary to him. You cannot be kind, you cannot stand like Stephen did if you are walking in pride. You can't. If you're walking in pride, then if you're Stephen, what are they doing? I didn't tell them anything but the truth. Why are they doing this to me? Don't they understand? That's the voice of pride. Was that the voice of Stephen? That was not the voice of Stephen. Stephen, when he got the hands laid on him to be a deacon, as a recognition of the faithfulness he had already demonstrated, such that the people themselves, when the apostles asked, choose ye out amongst you seven men who are full of faith in the Holy Ghost, Stephen was one of those that they chose. They laid hands on him to wait tables. Pretty lowly task in most people's mind. Stephen took it as a grand promotion and was excited at the opportunity, and he went forward and did that, and God was with him. And the Lord was with him, and the Lord gave him wisdom, and he gave him power, and he ministered in that in the sight of all Israel. To the point that when he was standing before the council, how did they see his face? They did not. The ones who were condemning him, who were gnashing on him with their teeth, and who condemned him to be put to death, saw his face not as the face of a man. Now, I'm not talking about the people out here who were the Christians looking at it. I'm talking about the ones who hated Christ and were killing Stephen because they hated Christ. They saw Stephen's face as the face of an angel. And still, they gnashed on him with their teeth and killed him. And he had compassion on them. Let's compare that to ourselves. Just pick any day because, look, I mean, yeah, that's pretty high. You know, you're getting stoned and judged and destroyed, right? That's pretty high. But let's just look a regular day at, say, Grace Ranch. A regular day at Grace Ranch. Does everybody around you always behave every day at Grace Ranch the way you want them to? Does that happen? Is everybody just kind and constantly thinking of you and whatever it is that you may be going through or whatever struggle you may be having or all of these things and thinking, how can I help such and such? Or is that person caught up in their own world as much as you're caught up in your own world and you're both pissed at one another and what you think they ought to be doing? Which one describes us better? It ought not be so. See, this is a little crucible we live in out here at Grace Ranch, and frankly, every church should be one. It should be one because if you want to be refined, if you want that Holy Ghost to and fire to refine and perfect you, then you got to be willing to pass through the crucible by which that's going to happen. That means you got to deal with one another, and you got to get past yourself and minister unto the other. You got to do it. And you know what? That takes kindness. And you can't have it if you're full of pride. Uh-oh, does that mean the way I just described how we are means that we got a pride problem out at Grace Ranch? Could it be so? Is it even a possibility that amongst the brethren there could be a pride problem? Is that possible? I think so. I see smiles all around in the congregation, which is a praise God. My desire was not to make everybody frown, but to highlight something. See, what happens is when you get past what's going on with you, then you can see what's going on with somebody else. And if you love somebody else before yourself, all of a sudden you begin to learn what makes one another tick. You actually care enough about the other person to learn about them so that you understand something about what makes that person tick. And how can I help this person to tick in a manner that will be a blessing to them and pleasing to God? Isn't that what it's about? Or is it, no, how can I get that person to do what I want them to do? Uh-oh. Which way is it? Which way is it, folks? Uh-oh, I think I got people here who know the answers to these questions. Praise God. Praise God. You know, it's funny. Years ago, I ran a business called Dog River Business Solutions. Charlie, he remembers those days fondly, I'm sure. Dreamily looking back at the days when he worked for me at Dog River. Ricky and Rick and even Jeannie and some others who passed through and worked for me there. But one of the things that was a real struggle for me when I was running Dog River was trying to figure out how to take the guys that the Lord had given to me and do something profitable in Christ with them. And that was not an easy matter, I can tell you. And I was a complete doofus, so that made it even harder. But you know what? Praise God, he was bigger than my doofusness. And he left me in a state of perplexity and wondering what in the hell I was doing for not days or even weeks or even months, but years. And then one day, about 4 years in, I was taking a walk after Rick had fled to South Carolina, and I'm looking at this business in which 50% of everything we had going on in that building just walked out the door. And I'm thinking to myself, what do we do now? And I was out praying one night, and he told me to do the craziest thing of all. But I won't get to that part yet. I'll tell you what he told me before that, which blew my mind. As I was out walking, and the Lord told me that I had finished that which he had given me to do there. Can you imagine the Lord telling you something like that? How many people would like to have that testimony sometime, that you had finished that which the Lord had given you to do? I see a lot of little grins and smiles, like people would like that kind of thing. Did you know you actually can? Remember Paul at the end of his ministry? You know, I finished my course. I fought the good fight of faith. I'm ready to be offered up. Apologize, I think I got those out of order somewhere. But basically that was his state. Same thing with Peter at the end of his. Moses, he just told him to go up into a mountain and die because he had finished his course too, and he wasn't going to go into the promised land. He had just seen it. So you can do that. Well, the Lord to me in a mighty blessing before any of that, before I met Megan, before we got married, before I had children, before any of these different things, he told me after 4 years of day by day wondering what in the heck I was doing and perplexed at every turn and trying with all my might to somehow or other turn Dog River Business Solutions into something that was pleasing to him and a blessing to the folks who worked there, he said, I had finished. I was pretty excited. I was pretty excited. But the thing that I had to learn in the process there of working with these guys is I had to learn that what my will was, what I wanted to do, what I wanted them to do, was not the issue. All of that had to get thrown out the window. None of that mattered. Not a bit of it. Think of that for a moment. Isn't that what we always focus on? What I want, what somebody else should be doing, and all these other things. And the Lord showed me that that had zero, zilcho, nada to do with anything. Wow, that's like opposite land, isn't it? But what the Lord showed me is that, no, what it was is he had given me pieces, and each of those pieces fit into a place. Him, not by me. Did not matter what I wanted, what was convenient to me, or any such thing. See, what happens is people get into authority or they want to rise up in authority so they can tell other people what to do. They're tired of being told what to do. They want to tell other people what to do. That's what they think it's all about. They think rising into a place of authority is about getting to do what you want to do. They actually think that's what it's about. It's an amazing thing to me. That is how it is in the world. You're absolutely right. That's exactly how it is in the world. But in the Lord, you rise up in authority. You know what it means? It matters not what you want to do. You know who it matters what he wants done? The Lord. Because why are you going to rise up in his kingdom if you're about your business? Right? So you know what you got to keep getting shed of? Your business, your business, your business, your business, your business. You lay it down, you lay it down, you lay it down, you put it down. You watch other people and you see them not laying it down. And you know what you want to do? Make them lay it down. You know why? Because it's so daggone convenient to me if you'll just do that. Makes my job about 1,000 times easier if you'll just lay your life down. But you know what? As much as I might want that, God respects something that very few people respect. In fact, he respects it above everything else, it seems to me. I'm trying to think of anything that he respects above this. And you know what that is? He respects your will. He respects your will. Now, the funny thing about that to me is because he respects our will, you have no idea what an unbelievable, miraculous event it is that anything ever gets done that he wants done. Because he respects your will. If he didn't respect your will and he just shoved your face into the dirt, kicked your ass, and did all that kind of stuff and made you do what he wanted you to do, well, you know what? A lot more things would seem to get done. But people out here at Grace Ranch, let me ask you, is that what's happened out here at Grace Ranch? Has people taken and kicked you and thrown your face down into the dirt and grabbed you by the nape of the neck and just wrangled you and made you go do stuff? And we've sometimes had some trouble with getting things done around here, haven't we? You ever wonder why? God respects your free will. Can you imagine how unbelievably frustrating that would be? To know what would be a blessing for each and every individual here. See the perfect thing he has for that individual that will bless them beyond anything they've ever envisioned. You know, he exceeds abundantly above all that we ask or think. To see that for the person, to try to encourage, cajole, show them, suggest to them, do all these different things to them to try and get them to go for it and get that they can be blessed, and watch them for year after year after year after year after year after year after year not get it, and yet love them still and have compassion on them and not give up on them. That's an amazing love, folks. That is an amazing love and an amazing kindness. Our God is kind. So what he has you do as a minister and everything, when I want to wring your neck, it's happened more than once, twice, more than 3 times. Let me not begin to count. But the fact of the matter is, it happens a lot. And what the Lord does is, you know who he deals with about it? Me! But how can he deal with me when it's obvious that it's you? That really stinks. I don't know what you guys think about it. But me personally, I much prefer it to be about you and what you're not doing than about him humbling me and trying to work with me to be more compassionate, kinder, more loving, more full of grace, more full of mercy, more of all of those attributes of him that are so contrary to me. See, you ever think about it? I mean, you know, God says his ways are higher than our ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways. And he goes through all of this stuff. See, his ways indeed are contrary to our ways. And his ways indeed are greater than our ways. And what this life is about our opportunity to learn to embrace and walk in his ways, that we get to be a part of his kingdom and can dwell with him forevermore. And so he gives us one another to practice on. And what happens is, and this is, if you guys want to get a key here, we have to get to that place. Look, we can be angry with one another. We can observe things about one another. We can do different things. But that's all right if what it works out in us is a desire between us and the Lord for the other's sake, where it provokes you into prayer, provokes you to, we sang that song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. See, it provokes you into becoming a sanctuary of God towards that other person who is the one you're frustrated with. Think of that. Have you ever thought of it that way from the standpoint? How can I be a sanctuary of God to the person I am frustrated with and angry at? Have you ever thought about it that way? Like, gosh, Lord, how can I do that? How can I actually help this person rather than just judge them? How can I help them? How can I be a part of your solution for them? It's easy to stand back and pick apart. That's easy. That takes no effort at all. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. But that's not of God. It's hard to, when you see the things, even though you're picking apart may be accurate and true, it may also not be. But let's just take it from the moment that your things that you're seeing are actually true. Well, whoop-dee-doo, you can sit back and look at somebody and find fault with them. Wow, standing ovation goes to the person in the corner over there. That's not praiseworthy. That's nothing. That is nothing. In fact, that's evil. Because it's all about pride. By contrast, seeking the Lord and to understand the person, what makes them tick, that you might be able to, in word or deed, say or do something, or in prayer, intercede on their behalf in a manner that the Lord moves to bring that person out of that, not for your stinking sorry hide's sake, but for theirs and his. See, it shouldn't matter about you. It shouldn't matter your inconvenience. It shouldn't matter your frustration. It shouldn't matter your anger. The only degrees to which those things matter are in your own prayer life between yourself and the Lord of getting past those things for the sake of others. That's where it should matter. Not about what they do so that you don't suffer those things. See, most of where we're coming from is we're trying to stop the pain, stop the frustration, stop the anger, stop all of these things. That's really where most of us are coming from. We call it loving them. We call it loving one another. It's a lie. It's a lie. But when you actually become because you love that other person and you love the Lord first, and you therefore in your prayer life, in your words, in your deeds, become a part of his ministry in love and kindness and respecting the individual's free will, not because they're exercising in a manner to their own benefit. I don't mean respect another's free will from the perspective of agreeing with the way they exercise their free will. Far be it from me to say that. God doesn't agree with the way most people exercise their free will, but he still respects their decision to do it. It may end up with them being in hell, alienated from him, cut off for all eternity, but it won't be because he wasn't kind to them. So, look, folks, I want to see us grow in kindness. I want to see us grow in love. I'm not saying we don't have love and that we don't have kindness. We do. Praise God. He's an awesome God that he's even been able to accomplish that much in this motley crew. But I mean it from the standpoint of, I don't think there's a single one of us here who will look at ourselves and honestly say, I am the measure of what it is to be kind. In God's dictionary, there's a picture of me there. Anybody feel that that's the case? I see some hearty laughs and stuff like that going around here. We all know that's not the case. We all know it's not the case. But it can be. Because as the scripture says, be ye perfect even as God is perfect. And we can do these things. But we have to get past ourselves and humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. See, that's what you have to do in that situation, because you're so justified in yourself and your judgment of the other that the concept of humbling yourself for the other's sake seems to escape us. That's what happens. It escapes us. All right? Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Do it yourself first. Isn't that what Jesus did with us? Did he love us because we loved him first? Huh? No, he loved us first. So don't wait for somebody else to be kind to you. Be kind to them first. Think of them. Be observant. Pay attention to what's going on with them. And bear in mind where they are and what's going on with them when you ask things of them. And be willing to suffer yourself, to not get something you want, to be a little disappointed in something, to be a bunch of different things. Allow yourself to be that you can love the other person as God loves them. Amen. All right, we'll play some more songs and we'll wrap up. And may the Lord bless you folks, and let him help each of us to grow in kindness.